I want to ask for your prayers today. I want to read just a couple of verses of Scripture. If you want to read along with me, I'm going to be reading from the fifth chapter of Paul's writing to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. And I want to read, first of all, the 16th verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, that's just telling us to walk after the things, the ways of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And go over to verse 22. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And those three verses will be my scripture reading today. And I would like to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you know, the Bible has given us perfect instruction. I mean, we are told in the Scriptures what we must do in order to be saved. And we have also been told in the Scriptures how we are to live when we are saved, the things that are required of us. I mean, God has given us perfect and complete instruction. Sometimes it's difficult for us to follow this because we deal with the nature of the flesh, and that's mentioned in these in this fifth chapter of Galatians. But what we are to do is, as God's people, is to walk in the Spirit. And in walking in the Spirit and following the things of the Spirit, then the Bible says, and this is, you know, given to us as an assurance, as a promise, that if we walk in the Spirit, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We won't fulfill or we won't follow the things that we're not supposed to be following if we follow the one that we're supposed to follow. If we do the things that we are supposed to do and walk in the Spirit, then we will be able to avoid the other things. And I want to speak today about the fruit of the Spirit. And the Scriptures here in the English Bible, they use the term the fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Now, you know, I believe that, and, you know, you may have a different view of this verse, but I believe that the proper way to interpret what Paul was writing here was to say that the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the faith and the meekness and the temperance, those things come from that. Those are the things that love produces. It is love that the Holy Spirit, and the Bible tells us this in the fifth chapter of Romans, it is love that the Holy Spirit places in our heart when He saves us. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So God puts His love in our hearts when He saves us. And that produces joy and peace. And, you know, I'm at peace with God because I have the love of God in my heart. And so the love has many attributes and is able to produce these things. Now, when we think of fruit, and you may think of a fruit stand, there are places along the road, or you can go up here to the market, and there are places where people have brought their goods, and they have placed them there, and they're selling them, and you may drive by, and you may say, well, there's a fruit stand, or you may walk into the store, and you see the fruit there, and I know if you go into the grocery stores, that department is called the produce, and that's really what is being spoken about here. These are the things that the Spirit produces. You know, the fruit that we see and the vegetables and things that we see, God produces those things from the ground, and they're made by Him for our good, for our physical needs. And the Lord produces wonderful things by His Holy Spirit as well. He produces joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and kindness and mercies and all these things that the Bible speaks about being the fruits of the Spirit. Now, there are things that I believe are also fruits of the evil spirit. There are things that are fruits of demonic spirits, demonic influences. Produce fruit as well. They produce hatred. They produce wrath and strife and divisions. And whenever there is division among us, whenever there are things that cause strife, or there are things that are not supposed to be among us as the people of God. And you know, the Bible tells us that there are things that are not even to ever be named among the saints of God. But we have a difficult time, it seems, keeping those things out. We should be able to discern. We should be spiritual enough, and I believe that the Lord expects us to be spiritual enough to be able to discern whether or not we're following the right spirit. Whether or not we're following the Spirit of God, or whether or not we're following after an evil spirit. And the Bible tells us that we are to try the spirits. And the way that we do that is by the Word of God. And so we can be assured that whenever there are things among us that the Scriptures tell us are not supposed to be there, we can be sure that those things are not being produced by the Holy Spirit of God. Those things are being produced by the devil. And you know, I suppose that we really shouldn't be surprised that there are things that that the devil tries to bring in among us, because, I mean, after all, the Bible does say that he is our adversary, that he is our enemy. The Bible tells us, the Apostle Peter said, that we are to be sober and that we are to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We know that he tries to cause division, and he tries to cause hatred, and he tries to cause things that are contradictory to the fruit of the Spirit, things that contradict the things that God has told us. The devil would have us to do just the opposite. And so we should not be surprised, because we already know that we have an enemy. But that does not ever give us any excuse to allow him to do his evil work. And you know, the very moment that he pops his ugly head up, what we need to do is we need to say, this is not of God, this is of the devil, and this is going to cause problems, and so get thee behind me, Satan, and we're not going to have this. And the only way that we can do that is by turning to the Lord. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, how do we, as mere humans, how do we resist this great demonic power? How do we resist the influence of someone that is ultimate evil, that is more powerful than we are by ourselves? Well, we resist him by drawing nigh to God. We resist him by when we see the things that he is trying to do, then we run to the Lord. Because the Bible says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And, you know, we cannot defeat him on our own. We don't have the power to stand against the wiles of the devil by our own power. But the Bible tells us that we have armor, and if we'll put it on, that it will protect us from him. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have the shield of faith. We have prayer. We have access to God Almighty through prayer. And when we turn to the Lord, we are looking to someone that does have the power to bring him unto subjection. You know, it just seems to me like, and I don't know what your feelings are here. I believe that many of you probably feel the same way I do. But it just seems like in very recent times, it seems like just within the last couple of years, it seems that the devil has just unleashed on this nation. And people are following that. People are going after that. People are following wicked things, even to the point where they are saying, why should I listen to the things that are written in the Bible? Why should I listen to those old words? I'll just do what I want to do. And they have reached the point where they are taking things that are really evil and calling them good and calling good evil, just like the scriptures tell us about. And I'm telling you, I believe that I got rid of that.
have to get rid of us, wouldn't he? Because it takes that in order for us, you know, we don't always do overnight the things that the Lord would have us to do. Sometimes God deals with us, it seems, for a while before we become what we ought to, and he is long-suffering, and he's patient with us. I'm glad that he is. And, you know, these things that the Lord has shown towards us, let me give you a verse of Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now the Lord loved his disciples. He loved them. The Bible says, having loved them, he loved them unto the end. He loved his disciples completely with a perfect love. He loved them. And before he left them, and you can find this recorded in the 13th chapter of John, before he ascended back to heaven, he commanded them, he gave them what he called a new commandment. And that new commandment was that they were to love one another the way that he had loved them. These fruits of the Spirit, these things that the Lord produces, and these things that he does towards us. The Lord loves us, folks. He loves us like nobody has ever loved us. He loves us in spite of our infirmities, doesn't he? Aren't you thankful that you don't have to be perfect in every way for God to still love you? Because none of us are perfect. We still deal with this Adamic nature that we have. And one of these days, friends, I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to get rid of this, but until I do, I'll never be perfect. I'll always have things in the flesh to deal with. But I'm thankful that God still loves me. I'm thankful that despite my infirmities, despite my problems, despite the things that I do that are not pleasing to the Lord, that he still loves me and he's long-suffering with me and patient with me. And, you know, it's like my little granddaughter, Hannah. She gets up and she sings that song, "He's still working on me. God's still working on me." How about you? Is he still working on you? Sure he is. And so the Apostle Paul, also in that fourth chapter of Ephesians, he knew that. He wrote to the church at Ephesus, In Ephesians chapter 4, in the first three verses, Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Folks, I'm telling you, we need to strive to live like we ought to live. You know, when we have been saved, we are the members of the Lord's church, we ought to strive to walk worthy of what we have been called to do. We ought to do our very best to walk in the Spirit. And whenever we see anything among us that's contrary to that, we need to get rid of that. Because listen, if you don't get rid of it quickly, it will soon fester. And it'll soon cause problems. You know, speaking of produce, you go and you see those apples there in the stand. And boy, I'll tell you what, the way that they're supposed to be, man, they're good, aren't they? I mean, they're sweet. They got a good taste. They're crispy. They're sweet. They're something that's enjoyable. They're not much good when they're full of worms, are they? They're not much good when something has invaded them and putrefied them. And I'll tell you what, when we see these things that try to infect us and try to invade us and try to lead us away from the vocation, from the type of people that we have been called to be, then we need to get rid of those things. We don't need them. We don't need them. Paul said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. How? With all lowliness and meekness. Listen, one of the fruits of the Spirit was long-suffering. Paul said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. You know what that really equates to? That equates to loving each other even when you know that each other's not perfect. That's what that equates to. Even when you know there's a problem, even when you know that something's not exactly right about yourself or somebody else, forbearing one another with love, putting up with each other. Let me tell you something. Division, strife, and division doesn't come because there are times when we see things differently. You know, sometimes I believe people look at a situation and they say, oh, they don't see things exactly alike. They must be divided. That's not true. Division doesn't come because we see things differently. Division comes because we allow the devil to divide us. We ought to be able to love each other enough to agree to disagree. And if we don't, then we're not loving each other the way that we should. Division comes when we allow the devil to lead us away. Division comes when we don't walk in the Spirit. I can prove that to you by the Scriptures. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll go there and read a few verses together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in the first part of that chapter. The Apostle Paul said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Paul was writing to this church, and he said, I can't speak to you right now like mature Christians. I have to speak to you like infants, at like babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now listen, verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. Ye are yet carnal. Now, if you go back to what I read about the fruits of the Spirit, being carnal is not one of them. For ye are yet carnal. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? You know when division comes? It's when we walk after the flesh. When we walk after the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we walk after the Spirit, it will not produce division. The Holy Spirit does not produce that. If you go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and read the fruits of the Spirit, you will not read that division and schism is one of them. That is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul made it plain here that these are things that come upon us when we walk as men. When we walk as men. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So, Paul said in his writing to the Ephesians, I believe he told us what we are to do whenever we see things arise that are not favorable to us, that are not good for us, that are dividing us. The Apostle Paul said that there is a formula to get over that. He said that we are to endeavor. We don't use that word a great deal anymore in our modern language, endeavor. It means to strive for something with great diligence. endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace. That was one of the fruits of the Spirit. Peace, joy, gentleness, kindness, patience, one to another. That's how we overcome the devil. That's how we overcome his snares. That's how we avoid his pitfalls and his traps. By the fruits of the Spirit. By following the things that the Lord tells us to do. You know, oftentimes, as churches, we have a choice. Just like people that are lost have a choice. You know, when you and I were lost, we had the choice of what we're going to do about it, didn't we? We had the choice of whether or not we were going to seek the Lord for the salvation of our soul, or whether or not we were going to continue to live in sin and be lost. We had that choice. Now, we couldn't just choose to save ourselves. We couldn't just make a decision to save ourselves, but we had the choice of whether or not we were going to seek the Lord and be saved or not. And you know, we have the choice as God's people if we're going to live by this or not. We have the choice as God's people if we're going to follow the Lord and his teachings, or if we're going to walk as men and do what, you know, what we think is right. And I'll tell you what, one of the biggest problems, I believe, that we ever have as a people is when we get to the point where we're saying, well, you know, this and that is not really satisfying me. You know, the question is, do we satisfy the Lord? He's the one we're serving. You know, does it satisfy the Lord? And if it satisfies him, it ought to be good enough for us, shouldn't it? When we want everything to be about us, we get in trouble. We get in trouble. Those are the things that the Lord gave me today to share with you. I hope it's been a help in some way. That surely was my intention. And I want you to just take these things and consider them, pray about them, and read them again. The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, patience with one another. Those are the things that God would have us to do. Anybody have anything on your heart? If not,